mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Fair or unfair, in the past when we have talked about Matthew Golden here on this program, there has been a tempering of expectations, and that is not Matthew Golden specific. That is more of how wide receivers, rookie wide receivers, young wide receivers, by and large, take some time to get used to the NFL. Now, is that everyone? Of course not. No, there are certainly exceptions to the rule. There are certainly guys who have popped into the league and popped off right away. I didn't know if Matthew Golden would be that guy, and it remains to be seen if he is going to be. But man, is there a lot of optimism surrounding this wide receiver? And the videos you have seen from camp, take it for what you want to. He looks good. He looks quick. That was as advertised, right? 4.2, 4.2, everybody talking about his speed. He looks fast. He looks shifty. Seen a couple of moves he's made to, the chagrin of the cornerbacks that were covering him on said plays. And now Kevin Clark from ESPN is at training camp. He did a little chat with Jordan Love. And when he talked to Jordan Love, you want me to hold off on it for a second?
Yeah, I just found it 2 minutes
ago. Sounds good. Joshy's telling me we will wait for the sound from Kevin Clark talking about Jordan Love and Matthew Golden. Chewy, as you hear, and I know you are famously anti-gush, people talk about how good he has looked at training camp. Are you willing to say that he might be the unique instance for the Green Bay Packers, at least recently, that has this type of big-time impact right away?
History would say no. That's why I'm... What did I say, Gabe?
Why would history say no?
Because if you even look at last year, rookies don't play their entire rookie year. And I've said it a million times, there's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured. So just look back to last year. Jordan Morgan, look back to... Who's the running back?
But I'm looking at wide receivers who were taken in 2024 in the first round. Marvin Harrison played 17 games. Malik Nabers played 15 games. Rome Odunze played 17 games. Brian Thomas played 17 games. Xavier Worthy played 17 games. Ricky Pearsall, a little bit different because he had an off-the-field thing that had nothing to do with football.
I love the kid. They drafted him. I said he was the second best, I thought, behind Hunter in Jacksonville. But they have so much depth at that position. I just think they're going to slow play him in.
Do they have depth at that position, or do they have guys? They have a bunch of guys that can play. They have a bunch of guys at that position.
Now, what I would do, I'm anti-gush. Okay, I've seen the gush before, and I've seen the gush blow up in the face. Do I think he's going to be good? I think he could be really, really good. Do I think he's going to be great this year? No, I don't. I think he's going to be a role player. He's going to have the 50 catches. I think that's just what it is. What I would do is, now you got to watch him in these preseason games because, training camp wasn't used to be. What it used to be, the evaluation process is different. He's a smaller guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smaller guy, right? And this is a faster league. And he's fast. But he's going to take shots. And that's the only reason why I'm like, I don't know if this first year, just on the way, rookies kind of hit a wall in this league. I would, and I hope, if he plays well in the preseason, that they move Dobbs.
Trade him.
Chances are he's not coming back, and I think you can still get really good value for him. And it takes away one of those spots where he's not competing for plays, right?
There's two things I want to mention here when you talk about the transition from college to pros. One is that, for a very long time, we would always joke about how remedial these college offenses were and how guys were looking over to the sideline to get the play. They didn't even have to, read a defense, essentially. They were just being told where to throw the ball. They'd cut the field in half and try to make their jobs a lot easier. Offenses have evolved. So they're a lot closer to NFL offenses. You're picking up, you have to learn a lot more. The playbooks are a lot more similar than they were in the past. The other thing is, I looked at Texas's schedule from last year, guys. They played 16 games. Mm-hmm. And you could argue at the end, they were playing really, really high level. They're playing an SEC schedule and high level games in the college football playoff. It's pretty dang close to the 17 games they play in the NFL. And so my point is, it has shrunk the transition. It has shrunk the learning curve. And that's why you are seeing guys who I think are able to make that impact in the league right away, Gabe.
Yeah, it's, I think he can have a big impact. Again, you're looking at guys a year ago, so from the 2024 draft, who then played their whole season that I was just listing off. I mean, Marvin Harrison, 62 catches, 885 yards. Malik Nabers, 109, 1,200 yards. Roma Dunze, 54 catches, 734. Brian Thomas, 87 for 1,282. Xavier Worthy, 59 for 638. I mean, everybody's contributing right away.
Well, that's where I had him. I had him from like 45 to say 55 in that space.
He's
right
going to have one
now. Nabers is different because the Giants stink and they have no one else to throw to. So obviously he's going to get more balls. But the problem is college, right? He played 16 games. I mean, how many of those games were against top tier talent?
I would say, so it's the SEC. They play eight conference games.
Yeah.
So four non-conference. Then they were in the playoff the entire time. So 12 of the 16.
It's just everyone in the NFL can play.
Yeah.
Right? And the guys that get cut, they're still good. There's so many stiffs in college. I'm sorry. There are. There's a lot of stiffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just there's no stiffs. Even on the bad teams, the players are really, really good. Mm. You know?
The Browns.
Put it this way.
Hey, speaking of the Browns, real quick, just slight. Our guy, Mitch Van Vorn, who was in with us just a few weeks ago, local kid, Marquette, and then went on to play, he was at St. Norbert? Is that right?
Yeah,
St. Norbert. He got picked up by the Browns.
That's awesome.
So just a moment for him. Congratulations to him. He texted me yesterday to let me know that he did, in fact, get the call from the Browns. He will be in camp with them, I believe, today.
Are you sure his name is Van Vorn? That doesn't sound right.
Van Vorn is correct.
She's correct.
It doesn't, but it doesn't.
Sure.
Because we would have automatically went to Tim Van Vorn.
We did. Yes.
I mean,
no relation.
Heavens to Betsy.
No relation.
Maybe we should give you those smelling salts before every game or before every show.
I think this segment. Is part of the old
segment.
This is part of the old. See, Josh, a year ago, I would have known.
Oh, yeah. A year ago, yeah. You've been right on top of it. Yes. I believe you. Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah, remember you gave him a little advice? You're like, you'll get a call.
Yeah.
Just stay in shape. It was one of my favorite moments here on Jen Gave and Chewy. It was you doling out advice to the young man. He is a tight end, and so we want to say congratulations to him for getting another opportunity in the league. Okay, Joshy has that sound from Kevin Clark with Jordan Love on Matthew Golden. Did you follow that? We're going to bring that back to you right after this break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When you want long-lasting comfort and reliability, it's easy to trust Pella. Every piece is specifically constructed for you and your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance to last for years, and built to create long-term energy savings. I'm getting a brand new front door on the house happening today. Going to be going home, and I can't wait. By the end of today, I'm going to have a new front door. And Pella was fantastic every step of the way, helping with the customizable options, making sure I got the best-looking front door for our house. Maybe you're heading out to the State Fair, so stop by Pella's booth at the Expo Center at the Wisconsin State Fair. That's happening for the next handful of days through August 10th. And if you order, if you get new windows or doors, by August 31st, 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
and call
could,
it an
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamura household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We love having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. My husband and I can't handle everything, and when a project is too big for us, we call our friends at PCI. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. Maybe it's a home renovation. Maybe it's a home addition, a remodel, whatever it is. PCI can handle it. They've been in business for more than 20 years. Learn more about PCI and see their work at their website, ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. It's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. We were talking before the break about Matthew Golden. There are videos that have been circulating, rolling out of training camp, and the kid looks good. He certainly looks fast. And of course, people want to know, well, how much of an impact is he going to have on this offense right away? You know, when you look at the Packers' schedule, you're sitting there going, you got some big games. Lions. You got some big games early in the season that you want Matthew Golden to be able to contribute in. So let's take a listen to Kevin Clark, ESPN's, he's a football reporter for ESPN. He was with Jordan Love, and they were talking about the young rookie wide receiver.
Most impressive newcomer so far?
Matthew Golden.
Take me through what makes him special so far.
Man, I think he's shown up since day one and just really shown his play style, you know, shown what he's all about. I think he came in really polished and has been making plays since day one. He's got very aggressive hands. He's a smooth route runner. He's got speed. So I think for him, it's just continue to understand the playbook and wrap his head around everything that we have in, because we have a very deep system. But when you can see when he knows what he's doing, and he's feeling confident. He's been playing lights out. So he's going to be a stud.
I agree. But let me ask you this question. Who else could he have named?
For top newcomer? He could have been, I've been really impressed with Hobbs, or I've been really impressed with Banks. He's going to solidify our offensive line.
Yeah. Not glamorous positions.
No.
But,
Savion Williams is there.
Yeah, but Savion's been concussion banged up. Yeah. Somehow. Hasn't necessarily been participating to the level of Matthew Golden.
Look, I love the kid. I loved him.
I don't think
draft.
You do.
I loved him. I just don't think he's going to catch 90 balls this year for 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns.
I mean, do I think he gets the 90? No, but I think he gets higher than what you think of 45? Yeah. I think he's going to sprint past that.
I think he leads the teams at wide receiver in snaps, routes run, and targets. I think there was a material change from last year to this year in how they're approaching the wide receiver position. You don't do all that work they did and draft two guys in the first three rounds without intention to use them.
Yeah, without the intention something needs to change at this position. And if something needs to change at that position, you're not just going to fold in the first round pick and go, he'll just get a handful of snaps and we'll continue to play the guys who we didn't think were good enough last year, which is why we drafted him ahead of him.
Are you concerned about Dobbs?
In what way? Concerned in what way? Because Wicks is the drop guy, right?
Yeah, Wicks and Reed.
Concerned about him from the standpoint losing reps to Golden. Are you concerned at all?
No, because guess what? If he has a problem with it and he pouts and he decides not to show up to work again, he's gone. Like, it's a big boy league, Chew. You got to be able to handle that stuff.
I know, but they kind of need everyone. They kind of need everyone. And they have to, coaches do this, man. They massage. You have to massage. I mean, the egos are massive, right?
Sure.
And I told you, Holmgren, you know, there'd be a week I got zero targets, zero balls, and I'd pout like a little baby, you know? And Holmgren, come on.
Well, I thought you were going to say a different word. I'm just glad you didn't.
He almost did. I'm looking right at him. He almost did, okay?
And then he'd come over and be like, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to get you some. They constantly have to massage.
Yes.
You constantly have to.
So let's take a listen, because Joshy was pulling up some sound from Brian Gutekunst, where he was weighing in on first-round picks and basically the impact that he hopes that they can have on a roster.
Do you need your first-round pick to contribute right away?
No. I mean, I think you'd love to, but I mean, I think you guys, a lot of you guys have been around here. You know, it's great when they do, but that's not always the case. I mean, this is the transition to the National Football League is tough. It's not always easy. A lot of times it's really determined by opportunity. You know what I mean? I mean, if you take a guy in a particular area, that he's just going to have a lot more opportunity than somebody else, you know, and we try to stay away from that drafting for need. We try to just, you know, take the best player available if that's possible. But most of the time, a guy's impact in his rookie year comes down to the opportunities that he had more than anything.
Sounds like they're going to give him a lot of opportunities,
yes,
Joshy.
That's exactly what I was keen on, because I was also looking for audio, and I can't find it now, of Goody saying first-round pick wide receivers typically contribute more than they used to early on.
Yes.
And then the other portion was the opportunity. So he said they don't need to contribute. Obviously, we've seen LVN and some of the other guys not do that. But then juxtapose that against who in that wide receiver room is holding Matthew Golden off of snaps. It's not, they don't have a top dog. They don't got a guy who's going to be like, no, you need to beat me.
And it's not to say that you can't find good. I mean, the Packers for years found really good wide receivers in the second round. But the difference between what they have in that room right now and Matthew Golden is athletically, he is a much more complete picture than Dobbs, than Reed, than Wicks, than Watson when he's healthy. Because all those guys have different deficiencies in their game, which is why they didn't go in the first round. And the potential that exists, especially if he's given the opportunities for Matthew Golden, the ceiling's a lot higher for him than the other four guys we just listed.
So let me throw this out there to you guys. Sam in the 920 weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, if you want to get in with the show. Would you sign Golden up for a Rome Odunze start season right now? Rome Odunze had 54 receptions, 734 yards, 3 touchdowns. He averaged 13.6 yards per catch. The 3 touchdowns is where I go, no. I don't mind the yards, 734. I don't think he's going to go up over 1,000. Do you guys think that Golden is going to go up over 1,000? In fact, Potawatomi has the over-under for Matthew Golden receiving yards set at 675.5. Over. Would you go over Potawatomi's?
I mean, what kind of value do I get on the over there?
It's minus 110 on both.
I love that.
And let me just
I was wishing for a little more value.
Let me just throw this out here because I did a little work in the break.
Nobody believes you.
I did a little work in the break, and there was a receiver drafted before him that went to Tampa Bay, Abuka, and you know what they're doing in Tampa? Gushing.
Well, he's going to get a lot of opportunities, because it appears that Chris Godwin is not going to be ready for the start of the season. So Emeka Abuka is going to get a lot, too. But so who cares if they're gushing about their guy, too? I mean,
they could be two good wide receivers.
Yeah. It's not, there's no rule saying only one good wide receiver in the first round every year.
I know Travis Hunter because he's on ESPN all the time, and Jacksonville has nothing, so he's going to be the star there. I really haven't looked at that, but that's just.
Jacksonville's got a guy who had almost 1,300 yards last year as a rookie.
I'd love the kid, but let's.
So would you sign up for a Rome Odunze? And by the way, there are people who think that Rome Odunze underperformed last year. And again, some of that was probably Caleb Williams and the offensive line and all of the issues that we have talked about when it comes to the Chicago Bears. But 734 yards, 54 receptions. You like those numbers for Golden? Again, I'd like to see him find the end zone a few more times than the three.
That's more about the Bears offense than anything.
All right. Tell me, who's going to be the three leading receivers this year?
For the Packers?
Yep.
Matthew Golden is going to be one.
Tucker Kraft
is two or three, and Jaden Reed's probably the other one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just because of even though he plays fewer snaps than everyone, when Jaden Reed's on the field, he gets fed the football.
Yes.
But he's just not on the field nearly enough.
I'm with you, but I'd put Dobbs in at three. It'll be Reed.
Dobbs 10 minutes ago.
If they don't trade him. Reed, Kraft, Dobbs. Interchangeable Kraft and.
There's no chance that he's not in the top three.
Who?
Golden. No chance. He's going to get the most snaps, too.
Is this bettable?
He's going to get the most snaps.
For what it's worth, I agree with Gabe. And this is just based on what we've seen on Family Night. This is based on what we are hearing out of training camp. Like, they are positioning this guy.
I got to come up with a bet. I got to take the bet. And you know the only reason I'm going to take the bet
is
because,
barring injury,
because you don't pay off.
No, that's my fallback.
I knew it.
I mean, in fairness, Chewy did pay off some of his bets.
All of them almost.
I mean, he did. I mean, it's been a while, but he did get his chest waxed. Did that?
Yeah,
we did that one time.
This is very easy for us to determine. We set a number of games he's able to miss.
No, that I'm out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
he doesn't.
Yes, I am.
I love the fact that Josh thought that would work.
Golden. I said he's going to lead the team in snaps, routes, and targets.
So I'm betting against all three.
Yes.
You guys have to give me a pedicure. All involved.
That's it?
You just came up with that off the top of your head? Or have you had that one in the chamber for a while?
His feet are disgusting. Like, if we're being honest.
On a Friday. because that's a whole week of the same socks.
Well, and then what bet are we able to make that you are actually going to pay off?
I'll give all three a haircut.
No, yeah. We get to have another party at the lake house.
Oh,
without me?
Yeah, just give us the keys.
To be determined.
All right, we gotta think.
We'll negotiate.
I can't. All right, that's fine. It's
I just
fine.
Don't understand how you could think that they would invest that level of capital in a guy and then go, we're going to keep him on the shelf.
Because you just heard Goody say, playing from college to the pros is difficult. Is difficult. Okay?
We just heard him say that the transition's easier than ever.
For receivers.
What are we talking about?
Well, play it again. He said it's difficult going
for right. We don't need to replay the whole thing.
All right, what did he say?
He said in the beginning that you don't need your first round picks to contribute instantly. We try not draft for need. He then also said a lot of that is determined by opportunity and the opportunity that those players are able to get. So a guy like Alvien, who doesn't have to be a starter, is probably going to come along slower than a guy like Matthew Golden, who instantly is the most athletic with the investment. All of that.
But he said it's difficult. He said it was difficult. Am I hearing things or what?
You're difficult.
I know that.
No question. Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exterior Poll. Potawatomi has the over-under set for receiving yards for Matthew Golden at 675 and a half. I feel like the over.
I'm going to take a visit. I don't do it often, but I think I'm going to take a visit.
They don't have the catches? Just the yardage?
Just receiving yards.
All right.
675 and a half over at Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this. Simplify your everyday banking with Great Midwest Bank. Like I did, you can open up a checking or savings account today. Experience friendly, simply local service plus competitive rates. It's the best of both worlds. Great Midwest Bank even offers 24/7 online mobile banking. So whether it's noon on a Tuesday or Saturday night at 11 o'clock, you can always access your accounts. And when you need assistance, real people are there helping your real needs. Great Midwest Bank is simply local and member FDIC.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting
good pop.
At.
Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Windorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Windorf & Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services. They believe in the human side of real estate. Faith, family, friends, they move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today at the Windorf team, d.firstweber.com. Oh.
You want to give us that again?
Well, it's the Windorf team.
No, just the website. The website.
FirstWeberDOT.com. Shut up. Am I fired?
It's a good thing.
I'm fired.
It's a good thing you know Tony. That's all I'm saying. It's a good thing you and Tony have a good relationship.
He's my babysitter. You guys suck.
My goodness.
What? I can read.
Kind of. That's up for debate right now.
You just played the clip one step below dumb, all right? So it tracks. Okay.
You just felt like you had to live up to expectations?
Green Bay Packers legend Sterling Sharp was inducted into the Pro Hall of Fame this past weekend. I know a lot of Packers fans took in that ceremony and were very touched by the things he had to say. Sterling Sharp is saying some other things, and he was on his brother's podcast, Shannon Sharp's podcast, Club Shay Shay, and had this to say about the injury that obviously has defined his career.
Here's the only thing that the Packers did that bothered me.
Right.
Not one person called to say, how'd your surgery go? Because they're fixing my spine.
Right.
I could roll out of there and never walk again.
Right.
I could die on the operating table. Not one person from the organization said, hey, you know, how'd your surgery go?
Not the coaches.
Not one person from the organization was like, wow, hey, look, man, God, we're pulling for you. You know, let us know if you need anything. Not one person in the organization checked up. That was the only thing that I wasn't bothered. I was disappointed in. You don't owe me anything. But I, as men, a common decency, common courtesy, and the fact that that was life altering. Mm. Not one person from the organization.
Chewy, of course, shared a locker room with
Sterling Sharp. Yes, I did. And I love Sterling. I loved, he's a good guy off the field, but he's, and I wouldn't say one of the most, he was the most selfish player I ever played with, right? And people in the organization didn't like you, you know? They just didn't. The way you carried yourself, the way you put yourself, it was only you. And I agree, someone should have called, right? I feel bad for him because it was a serious neck injury. He had to get fused between 1 and 2. Someone should have called him. I totally agree. I feel bad for you, Sterling. But to pretend that people weren't very fond of you in that building, I think you're fooling yourself, you know? And I don't know if you guys know about the media. He wouldn't talk to any local media.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't talk to any local media. But if ESPN or Fox came in, he would talk to them. That's just douchey. He wouldn't sign trading cards. I had, you know, my loser cousin that stiffed me on the tickets. Well, this is about 3 years before. He sent me Sterling's trading card. He wouldn't sign it. Anything he was to sign had to be sent through the mail.
Well, and you've told the story also about how he sort of used the team's success and, right, was holding the team hostage a little bit in order to get a new deal.
Minnesota, first game of the year in 94. We're in the team meeting room. He kicked all the coaches out. We are at Oneida. That's where we used to stay. And he says, I'm not playing tomorrow unless they give me a new deal. I mean, how are you supposed to feel? When you bust your ass all camp long, right?
Back when camp was two-a-days.
Back when camp was tough, in the night before the game, your best player on the team is saying, I'm not playing. And you guys know we really didn't have a great chance of winning a ball game without him because he's an unbelievable talent, you know? And like I said, I feel bad for you that no one did that.
Who?
But don't pretend that you weren't, you were, what am I trying to say? You were not liked in the building. You just weren't by your actions.
Well, what I find interesting, guys, is, you know, this is so many years later, and he insists that he was not bothered by it, but made a point to articulate it, made a point to put it out there. You know, it's almost like wanted a pound of flesh or wants people to know that he feels he was mistreated. Not bothered by it, by the way, not bothered by it at all. Disappointed by it, but I got to air some dirty laundry here. Like, to me, it felt like an unnecessary shot at the organization, at the people in the organization who are a big reason, whether you want to believe it or not, that you are standing there in the gold jacket this weekend, Gabe.
Who was he tight with? Like, was there any player? I mean, when he says organization, does he just mean like coaches and front office people?
Okay.
Or who was he tight with? Did nobody from the team, like, player reach out to him either? Or is he just kind of a lone wolf?
I don't know if it's the training staff or I don't know if he's, I mean, I didn't mm-hmm. call him. And like I said, off the field, I like Sterling. And I feel bad that I should have called him because his next surgery was a difficult one. But it was just like, how it worked was like, the training staff didn't matter. Because it was Sterling on our team. Let's not forget, this is before Brett became Brett. Mm-hmm. There was Sterling and then a gap to your next best player. And he knew it. So he didn't have to deal with the training room.
Well, until
he didn't go. He wasn't like, do I have to practice today? It was, I'm not practicing. I'm a firm believer if he didn't hurt his neck, Holmgren would have got rid of him the next year. because he was that big of a problem. He just did whatever he want. I'm not practicing. He never practiced. Never.
Did you have a surgery when you had your neck injury?
I didn't, but I went to his same doctor and in North Carolina, and first time meeting him, and he told me how serious that surgery was. I mean, it was a bad, bad.
Well, yeah, because he had to retire because of it. I mean, eventually you had to retire too. You tried to come back lifting
but
weights.
Mine was 5'6", which is arms. His was 1'2", which is breathing, you know? So someone should have.
I appreciate you, honestly, that you are sitting here saying, look, that was an error, a collective error.
Yes.
Right? Somebody should have done it.
Yes.
But I also hope that there is some self-reflection if someone finds themselves in a similar-ish situation. If you're going through something and your colleagues and people that you think are your pals aren't checking in on you, I'm not saying it needs to be done right now, but at some point, maybe you have a little self-reflection of what am I putting out into the world? What narrative exists about me? How am I being perceived by these people that I'm spending all of this time with? And I know that the league might be different and some guys are closer with others and there are cliques that develop. Chewy, you were lucky you had pals on the team. But you had pals in part because you were a good guy to be around.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't exist in a vacuum. And that's the only thing I would say about it is I'm hoping that as he is reflecting on that time, that there is some accountability, perhaps, for his role in the way that that shook out. That's all.
One other thing I found interesting, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but and Brett was pissed, man. We were all pissed when he stood up and said that thing before Minnesota because we were heading in the right. We weren't a Super Bowl team, but we are heading in the right direction. If you look at Brett's text or Twitter or whatever the hell you call it, it was to both Sterling and Jared Allen. It wasn't just to Sterling, which I found interesting.
Yeah, because he played with Jared for a little bit when he was with the Vikings.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how many guys were there. You know, when Brett went in, there were 50 guys there. I mean, all I saw was Don Majkowski. I don't know who else was there, you know. But you just, you know.
It's just a good reminder, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Of just being aware of how you present yourself in the world, right? And being aware sort of, especially again, not bothered, disappointed, X number of years later. What are we, 30? Are we 30 out from that?
30 years, yeah.
30 years from that, you know. I found it very interesting. And Chewy, I really, really appreciate your perspective that situation.
And like I said, Jen, I love him. I mean, he's a good, but there's just too many things that, like, dude, come on. Shouldn't have to work at being a good teammate and friend. Shouldn't be work.
It doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mantality comes in. And I've been telling you about Mantality for a while. And the reason why is because it works. It works for me. I was tired, groggy, just didn't have the energy, thought it was getting older, waking up earlier in the day, doing a morning show, things like that. Was willing to make every excuse. But you don't have to make the excuses with Mantality. Just go through the process. See if you're dealing with some of those same things. Tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. See if it is low testosterone. Go to lowtusa.com. Book the appointment today. Go through the process. If the testosterone levels are low, then you can work with Mantality. And here's the great part. It is a customized testosterone treatment plan for you. You continuously go back every 12 to 13 weeks to make sure that your testosterone levels are where they need to be so you can continue to feel great and feel like yourself. Go to lowtusa.com. Mantality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mantality, lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's garbage. It doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. Southeastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area. And coming in the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District. And last but certainly not least, I want to tell you about Vault. Check out the stunning riverfront bar inside Associated Bank River Center, a perfect summer spot before a night out in the town or even a ball game. featuring happy hour specials, a menu with tremendous flatbreads, and my favorite part, the raw bar. Of course, you also get an incredible view of the Milwaukee River. That's Vault.
Brewers back in action tonight against the Braves. They've already wrapped up the series. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun when you go into the third game of a series and you're like, I already won it? They've won 23 series this season, which is just remarkable. They're 69 wins, 44 losses.
Nice.
Best ever for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's just, it's a wild time. It's so exciting. Ride the wave. And I was just checking, guys. You can get good value if you believe the Brewers are going to sweep the Braves. Plus 112 for the money line at Pottawatomie Casino Sportsbook tonight for your Milwaukee Brewers, Jose Quintana on the hill. Gabe, feeling confident about the win, or you think they dropped this one just because you can't keep? We asked, I think it was a few weeks ago, are they going to put together another double-digit win streak? Mm-hmm. They're at five now,
yeah.
Halfway there.
I mean, Spencer Strider's really good.
Yeah,
tough,
but
tough matchup. Tough matchup on the mound.
I think a loss is more shocking than a sweep.
I would agree. I would agree with that at this point. Honestly.
I'd be like, they lost. What's going on?
You want them to have a five game losing streak or whatever?
No. In fact, did I see that there are only three teams in Major League Baseball that have had what was it, a four game losing streak?
Five game. And they are all NL Central teams.
They are. It's the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Reds.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Someone missed. Swing and a miss.
Every year.
To me, that this just feels like the greatest show on turf. A little bit.
Because
I bet, well, you remember the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Trent Green goes down. Kurt Warner comes in. I would say before the start of that season, the Rams were probably predicted to go 8-8. And they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
Brewers, what was the under-over? 82?
83.5, Joshy. I think you're in on that number.
Blow that out of the water. Number one. Has that same kind of feel.
Do you have to wait to cash that till the end of the season, or the day they get their 84th win, can you go collect your money?
For winning the division?
No, he's got over under 83.5 wins.
Oh, that's a good question.
From the weekly wager. I think once you get over the number, because you can't subtract wins.
Correct, yes.
So I think you can cash it as soon as you hit that number.
I don't know if that was something that you had to wait until the regular season was over, or
you can
just
subtract
cash
wins.
It.
Look,
you
sometimes
can.
We exist in the college football.
Space. But they're
this isn't college football. What are we
doing? Those bets cashed when they were retroactively removed still.
Can you imagine trying to go back to the sports league and being like, actually, I believe that number is different now than it actually was. Brewers back in action tonight. Off tomorrow, I believe only one other off day this month, and then they have a gauntlet at the end of August. Still believe that they could go through the month with just six losses. Wildy and Tauscher next on ESPN Milwaukee, everybody. Have a great day.